All right, we'd like to welcome everybody to the Mastermind Seminars Mastermind Call this morning. And we're preparing for our event in just a couple of weeks, going over the speakers and the topic for the event, which will be August 18th. And we have another team from Tanglewood coming out for that. We're really excited about the opportunities there. And if you'd like to go to www.mastermind-seminars.org, you will be able to see the topic for the month, as well as the various segments. And so the topic for this month is creating client for life relationships. So, Patrick, I believe you are bringing a team out this month. So tell us a little bit about your preparations and questions that the team might have, and we'll go from there.
Sure, great. So who do we have on the line?
Yeah, I'm showing Delphina, Carly. We also have Linda, Nicole, and then who's calling in from 410-253?
It's Jason.
Okay, Jason.
Cool. So, yeah, I'd like to know from those that are coming out from Tanglewood what they would like to accomplish, you know, individually and also maybe as a team for the company.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, let's see. Jason, why don't you share a little bit about what you'd like to accomplish individually, and then you can share some thoughts, too, on the team side of things as well.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not quite sure yet. I haven't really had a whole lot of time to prepare for this. I've been on vacation for a week, and I'm just getting back into it right now.
Jason, do you know what your topic is that you're speaking on?
Yes, natural laws.
Okay. All right.
What I'm looking to do is connect client for life to some of the natural laws to how to keep a client for life, and show how that connection could grow somebody. Yeah, from the first time you meet them, yeah, you know, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, Nicole, you came out a couple months ago and you talked about the natural laws. So do you have any suggestions for Jason as far as preparing or particular laws that you are aware of just from your research and study in preparation for that time to prepare for the topic?
Well, what I did was I kind of, in order for me to even start thinking about it, I had to relate it back to myself. So when I went out, I related it back to school because right now that basically is my life. So I put it into sort of like a lesson plan, and it kind of made sense. And then once I started structuring it like school, it started to come together. So I would find something that kind of makes a lot of sense and is easy to understand in your life, and then connect it back. So like, it could be, because I think in my presentation, I made a company a baby and then grew it up to adulthood. Then maybe you could connect it back into your daughter, or even you can even use your trip to Disney World. I'm not sure. I just know that starting point, finding that something that made everything click to put things together, helped me boost it off. And then I can certainly send you a bunch of links and resources and stuff like that helped me put it together. But I picked natural laws that I understood fairly well, and then I picked ones that I had to work with Mark with a little further to understand.
Okay. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And definitely have a lot of work ahead of me, and I'm up for the challenge, but this is way outside of my normal things that I do. I don't like speaking, but I'm more than happy to try.
So, Delphina, I know that you have, you've talked to me about an interesting approach you were thinking about doing. Did you want to, have you been able to make any progress on that?
I have, and I was curious if it's possible to get a list of the people that will be attending ahead of time, and even better, if I could possibly get their primary personality types.
Wow.
Sure. So we do track, like, people who register ahead of time. If they have been with the network before, then we do have their personality. But if they're new and they just registered off of a random email or website, we wouldn't have captured that yet. And I would say it would probably be just a couple of days before the event before we have the full list.
Fine. I don't need it a long time beforehand, but would it be possible, for example, the ones who are new, who are registered, you don't have their personality types, could I call them and just kind of do the quick little...
Sure. Ask them the shape and the pain quadrant questions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can even direct them to go to, like, theactioncard.org if you don't want to go through and ask them all of that, because that will capture it, and then as soon as they finish it, we get that report, and that could be sent to you, too. So however you'd like to do it would be totally fine.
Okay. And who should I know it's not going to happen until a few days prior, but who should I contact for that?
Yeah. Yeah, you can ask me or you can ask Amber. Either one of us would have that easily.
Okay, perfect. Those are all the questions I have right now. I'd kind of like to keep the rest of it a little quiet, if that's okay. But as far as my personal goal for this is I'd love to actually leave a lasting impression to the group. That's my personal goal. And as far as the whole Tanglewood goal, I'd kind of like to keep in with the theme of the meeting, and I'd love to form some serious relationships, very long-lasting relationships with people within the group, all of us, that will hopefully in turn kind of pay off down the road with keeping in touch and hopefully getting some work out of it. If people are thinking about us and they know about us and they see an opportunity for us, that they don't hesitate to reach out.
Does anybody have any thoughts on how we can intentionally turn this event? So I think the event, it's costing us, I don't know, somewhere around probably $4,000 or $5,000. Anybody have any thoughts on how we can get a return on that investment?
Patrick, this is Carly.
Hey, Carly.
After last Saturday's call, I've been thinking a lot about it, and we started talking about Clients for Life and in the process of sales and service, and you know, after the sale is made and after we deliver the product, how important it is to continue that relationship. So I was wondering what your thoughts were about in my new role of estimating. I was thinking of how can I use that, you know, when I get better pricing and everything, to increase our service, the opportunity with service, instead of looking at it as just an opportunity to build that, to make that, you know, when they call us again for a service, how can I build on that to turn into more of a profit center for us by offering them options? And I think once I get more involved with estimating and pricing, you know, that I could build on that. And I was just wondering how that was kind of what I would like to take from Chicago, how I could turn that into more of a profit center. So I was wondering what your thoughts were with that.
Well, that's a great question. So how can you turn estimating into a profit center?
Well, as far as the service, you know, right now I think a client, or, you know, client calls and product A broke or whatever, and we simply price that product. basically, right? So how can we expand on that? How can we, you know, if they want one motor because it broke, can we, you know, your warranty is up on this, you've had them this many years, you know, can we, might be better time to replace four of them, you know, all of them on there, or more suggestive selling in it when I respond to them, or it's not really my job right now to respond, but, and I think as I get, if I'm doing the pricing for it, I just thought that might be, we get a price breaking and we buy four, so maybe we could present it that way. Just looking at different options, and I was just wondering what you, you've been involved with it more than I have, but I think there's a lot of opportunity that's being missed there.
Yeah, I agree. I have a lot of thoughts on it. It sounds like you're headed down, you started to already come up with some really good ideas. I would encourage you to continue to think about it, because I don't want to just give you all of my ideas, because you might come up with a lot better ideas than I already have. You know, how much time have you spent thinking about it so far?
A lot.
A lot.
Well, it goes back to last Saturday's call,
right.
And
I'll send it to you.
If it's a client for life, I think when they call back for service, then we just need to build on that relationship, and I don't think we're doing that. So,
I think this is, and I know Patrick, you and I have talked about it, and Patrick, I think you should share some of your thoughts just to help Carly out. But Carly, I see this as an opportunity for us to, like, we really, really need to get on the ball for our service department section. It makes me think of when I went to go, do you remember the Mermel theme job, Skylight, the roof lantern in New Jersey? Are you familiar with that one?
No.
We did just a roof lantern, very simple, for this guy, Jay Mermelstein, for I think it's his sixth house in New Jersey.
Okay.
And we went to go meet with him, and we noticed he had this huge conservatory, I mean, gigantic. And so we were asking him about it. We're like, geez Louise, you know, why haven't we reached out to this? It was actually a Solar Innovations conservatory.
Okay.
And he got it around the same time that he got the roof lantern. And the reason is because of the service that Solar Innovations was able to provide. He could not stop preaching their name. He said, I signed up. He goes, they come out twice a year. They check everything. They replace what needed to be replaced. I mean, it was like, we couldn't get him to shut up about Solar Innovations. It was like,
wow.
You know, and for me, that really hit it home. I mean, anyone who comes to his house and asks about that room, he is going to preach Solar Innovations and how well they take care of that space.
Right.
And I know it's not directly tied to what you're asking, but I feel like, you know, when someone calls and something's wrong, like, we need to figure out a way to swap this whole thing and keep in touch with that person nonstop. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I see. I feel like they call and it's like a parts department. We'll get that right out to you, and that's the end of it. And it's turning, you know, it's capitalizing on that. It's how to, you know, that has to be part of the sale to me, the after sale. We have to keep, like you said, we have to be, you know, they have to talk about us. And if that's all they say, well, I got my part, but that was it. But if it's the way they're handled, the follow-up, all that stuff, you know, it's key.
Exactly.
So that we need to. That's just something that I thought about, how to turn this trip into to a profit. You know, get the return on it for the company. So, those are my thoughts.
Does anybody have any thoughts on how to do what Solar Innovations has done?
I'm sorry, Patrick.
I know. Go ahead.
No, I didn't hear who he was asking. I was just asking if he was asking that question, too.
It was to anyone.
Create a service department. I honestly, that for me is, I guess, the more obvious and most difficult route. But something, start with start with old clients, call them, say, listen, this is a new thing we have. So this price will come out once or twice a year, and I don't know, it's a lot more work than me just saying it, and I know that. I'm under no illusion that it's going to be as easy as 1, 2, 3, but I think we just have to do it.
We did have that plan, the maintenance plan. I don't know what the whole campaign was on that. We tried it, but did we just not commit to it, you know, really to fully implementing that to our past clients, or?
So we had a maintenance plan to what, go out every so often and check on the conservatory?
We have a, what is it, Pat?
Yeah, it's basically a service agreement plan. So they sign up for the year, they pay a certain amount for a year, and we come out once a year, check it over, clean everything, you know, recaulk any areas that might need caulking, do minor repairs, and then give them a full report if there's anything else that we find. And then you have the ability to upsell anything that, you know, if it actually needs, you know, more than what would just be a normal 1-2 day visit.
Do we not sell that anymore? Was that an add-on to each conservatory?
We actually, as far as I know, have never sold it up front. We have sold some on the back end, you know, like to previous clients. So my thoughts on something like that is generating a, you know, there's two ways to go about it. You could go all out and create a whole service department and hire a service manager and a, you know, team full of people that can service it and try to get all the sales for it. And that's one way. The other way is you can, and it's a little bit harder to do it this way, you can build it in and you can start selling those. And if you start selling them up front with, you know, I've found it's much easier to sell things like that within the package of the project itself up front. And if you add that in, then basically you're helping to create a client for life because you're going to be touching them every year.
Right.
And if you sell that in the very beginning with the conservatory, then you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, whether they have any warranty issues because we're always going to be taking care of stuff and reaching out and touching them every single year or twice a year, you know, whatever the plan may be. And then as you build that up and you build more sales, then you can plan around how many more people you're going to need, how many more, you know, service technicians you're going to need as you sell them to be able to service those instead of just going out after a campaign of previous clients. You're not sure how many you're going to get.
Patrick, I completely agree. I think it'd be silly to have a department separately just trying to sell the kind of service and maintenance agreements, but I would absolutely love to be able to tell people about a very well thought out and planned service agreement up front. For me, that's just another ace in the hole. I mean, it's like, come on, it's pretty cool to be able to tell someone, oh, by the way, at this price, we're going to come out once a year, we're going to clean it. I mean, that's a common question as far as maintenance and, you know, cleaning the exterior windows and the roof and all that, so.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So if we wanted to be really intentional about setting a goal event, what could we do?
Setting a goal for what, Patrick? For the service agreement idea or for the visit to Chicago?
Yeah, if we want to be really intentional about setting, you know, a goal of what we wanted to achieve out of this event, going out to Chicago, spending, you know, $4,000, anybody have any thoughts on what we could do?
Well, I might be able to somehow tie some of the subjects into how creating a service agreement brings it back to creating creating a client for life, because you're constantly in contact with them throughout the rest of the time that they have a conservatory. In mentioning that, you might be able to grab some people and pull them towards, you know, towards our company for getting a conservatory and possibly a service agreement. But
good. Tell. Any other thoughts?
I'm not sure how to set a goal for this, to be honest, because it's still a little fuzzy to me. You know, if you're thinking with this meeting we should be able to come back and sell another million within, you know, however many days or however many months, I don't think it's fair to give that kind of goal simply because is this the kind of event that facilitates that type of, you know, that allows that type of kind of networking to go on? I'm not sure. Is this potentially more of a team building exercise, or you know, I know that we're teaching for a portion of it, so you know, should our goal be, you know, making sure that people understand what we teach? I don't know, Patrick. I mean, are your thoughts a monetary goal, or
what's the benefit of teaching?
Well, I know I'm learning while I'm trying to teach, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's the people that are going to be listening to you, and they're learning at what, one level, probably like a superficial level. And then there's actually doing it, which is learning at a deeper level. And then there's teaching a subject, which is learning at an even deeper level. So if you take this as an event that you're able to learn something at such a deep level that you can then apply back, you know, for example, Delphina, you're doing personality masteries. If you're able to learn personality masteries at such a deep level, how could you use that towards you personally earning more money and the company earning more money? Because everything needs to relate back to making more money. I mean, in a business, we don't ever spend money unless we figure out how we can get a return on it. Because if we keep just spending money and we get no return, then, you know, we run out of money and we're out of business. So we have to always be intentional about how we're going to invest the money and how we're going to get that return back. And hopefully not just what we put into it, but a lot more than what we put into it. So if you were to imagine you were spending, you know, maybe your own money to go out there and it was costing you $1,000 and you're investing $1,000 of your own money, what type of return would you want to get back? And what could you do from this event to, or take from this event that would allow you to achieve that return? Does that make that make sense?
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. I am not sure what I would want. I know personally with the personality masteries, I mean, I'm getting a lot out of it just doing it. I would hope that being in a room, and again, I don't know how experienced some people are, I would hope being in a room with people who are familiar with it, have practiced it, where we can just talk about it, where we can kind of feed off of each other, that would give me, honestly, the more confidence to be a little more forward about it. I want to be able to use what I think I know without hesitation. So I'm not going to give you a number because I can't give you a number right now, Patrick, but I would think that it would, without a doubt, at least increase my comfort and my ability to just kind of go out there and use what I've learned so far.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have, I believe we have Kevin on the line, and Kevin has been involved with Mastermind Seminars for quite a while, and he's been the MC for a while. So I'd love to hear Kevin's thoughts pertaining to Tanglewood Team coming out and how you guys could best prepare to reach your goals, or how to best set goals for your team and for the company as a whole. So any thoughts there, Kevin?
Yes. Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is that there's an intention. There's something I want to get out of the seminar. There's something I have to get. There's some sliver of truth that's going to make a huge difference in my life, and I go in anticipating that. And that's the first thing. And there's times when I don't even know what that thing is, but I still anticipate it. And when I get there, I find it. But my heart and my mind is all tuned to wanting that, desiring that. And so how that ties into ROI is, first and foremost, and maybe this will answer it, maybe it won't, I don't know, is that if you did have to spend $1,000 of your own money to fly all the way out, what would you be expecting in return that would get you $10,000, $100,000, $1,000,000? Because that's the terms in which we have to start looking at everything we do, because it's our life. And this is the only time that we have. Time is fleeting. Time is, we don't know how much time we have. So to live our lives with urgency is key. I hope that helps.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Kevin. Thank you. Yeah, Kevin certainly has a, Kevin's been doing this for quite some time, and then, you know, with the recent loss of his son, I think he has a perspective that a lot of us should have, but don't, and it's important for us to keep that, you know, to be able to learn from that, because, you know, you don't know how much time that you're going to have. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, Linda, I believe that, oh, sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
Oh, no, go ahead, Duffy, I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask you, I believe that you're emceeing for the event, right?
Oh, yeah, I am, yes.
Okay. Any questions with that, or do you feel like you're pretty prepared to do that?
I don't have any specific questions related to the emceeing yet. No. So far, everything has been going pretty smoothly, so... we're going to do a trial run, and when we do that, I might have some questions. Next week, okay. We're going to do that. So.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, just let us know. Hey, Patrick.
Yes?
When you get the chance, could you nail down the date and time for the trial run? If I could come down to Denton for it, no problem. It's just easier for me to kind of know as close to ahead of time as possible. That way, as far as any scheduling conflicts or meetings or anything like that, I can make sure I keep that blocked out.
Sure, I'll do that. I'll get with Alan. Try to get with him over the weekend and see what his availability is.
Great. Thank you.
So it looks like we've got about another matter. So, Linda, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Did you have anything you wanted to accomplish today or any thoughts?
Not right now.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts? Nicole, Carly, Jason, Delphina?
I'm good right now.
Yep. Well, appreciate everybody's help.
Yep, I'm good.
Well, we can transition into the next segment, too, and kind of go from there. So, Tanglewood, you're just finishing up your preparations. You know, if you have other questions, definitely let us know. On the mastermind-seminars.org page, you can also find videos from the last 2 years that go over this topic as well. So if either of you would like just kind of an idea of what others have done in the past for your particular topic, that's